Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Throwback Thursday to you. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It is a it's a sweepy Thursday today. Man, sweeps have been few and far between for our beloved San Diego Padres, but they got one yesterday. We will talk about that this morning, certainly. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
No guttural yell.
No, my voice is a little cached. Just yelling at the kids and stuff, you know, screaming all the time. Summer, man. You know how it goes. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. It's Thursday. You got to save a little bit in the tank for the roundtable, extra hour.
That's the other. Yeah. That's the other part. And I've got marriage counseling after that. So it's like the hell day Thursday. It's not hell. It's all good stuff, but it's just a lot of Thursday at about 1 o'clock, I'm real tired of the sound of my own voice. Like, really, really done with me at that point.
Well, no round table for me, so. Yeah!
There you go. You can take it over for me. I love a good sweep, man. I really do. I like more of those. Wasn't supposed to be as close and terrifying as it was at the end of the game, but it was. It was, and that's been the... If you didn't think that was going to happen, you have not been watching the San Diego Padres this season. I mean, it's truly like nothing has come easy to this team at all. I mean, really. I honestly can't remember the last super comfy, you know, I feel confident in turning the TV off and moving on game. And
8-0 in the eighth inning after a grand slam. If that's not comfortable enough.
You're feeling pretty good.
I don't know what to tell you.
You're feeling pretty good, man. But yeah, we'll get into all that. We had our member live stream last night. That was great. It was a lot of fun. I'd share a lot of stories. And if you're not a member, you need to be a member. It's fun. And you get to join us once a month. We do a live stream where all bets are off. The gloves are off. And Ben is nude on it. And it's a sight to see. It's a sight to see.
Speaking of stories, are you going to share the story you just told us?
Yeah.
Yes. About our brand manager,
this guy,
Adam Klug, because that one can't wait. I know we've got four hours, but I feel like that one needs to jump right into foreplay.
And I feel like he gave it to me to share. I did not ask him for permission to share, but I don't think he'd mind. He likes. Somebody said yesterday I was making.
He knows you well enough.
Yeah.
There's an intrinsic.
There's like an understanding.
You specifically say I want to tell you this, but please don't. Yeah, please don't share it with the listeners. You know that story is going to be part of the show.
Well, and the thing is like, I thought to myself, should I wait for him to tell it? And then I thought, no, I'll tell it. I'm a better storyteller than he is. Somebody said yesterday in the chat, dude, Adam's going to fire Woodsy one day because I just pound him. But he's not. Like, he loves being a part of this show. Good, bad. He's told me 100 times, you do what you have to do. Like, hammer me for the show. Right? Like, hammer me if you
have
to.
It's one of his best qualities.
It literally is one of his best qualities.
As a leader and a boss.
100%. Like, and he knows good content's good content. So, I love that man. And don't ever get it twisted, to think that I don't love him. I absolutely love him. Bar none, the best boss.
Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
I mean, how do you hate that guy, dude?
Well, we've had bosses that would not allow us to
no question.
Play a clip
no,
making fun of them.
No question.
What is that now, 2.5 years we've been playing that?
Yes. So I texted him because, again, it's weird for me when Adam's out of town. I talk to Adam, I would say it used to be once a day. Now it's like maybe a couple times a week we'll check in and, you know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we need, whatever. And he will, hey, share stuff with me that, you know, things that we need to be aware of and whatever. So we're friends. Adam and I are good friends. So I texted him yesterday at almost 5 o'clock. I said, hey, how's the vacay? He writes back. I'm not on vacation. I'm traveling. Yeah. I'll do it in his voice. I'm not on vacation. I'm traveling. It's good, though. Just hectic seeing so much family. Got a great story for you, though. Now, to be fair, oftentimes when Adam says, I've got a great idea, it's the worst idea you've ever heard. We need Ben and Adam to have an idea off at one point.
Our bad ideas are different, though.
They are way different.
They're different.
And they're both, listen, I could find gold in both of them, right?
Mine just tend to be duds. His are maybe a little too try-hard.
They're very, way try-hardy. Yeah. Yes, that's such a good way to put it. So, I said, I can't wait. And I didn't know he was going to tell me right then, so he did. My mom wanted pictures of the kids from my phone. So I let her go through my gallery and text pics to her phone. She ended up texting a pic of my son to AJ Preller.
Good morning, guys.
Oh, my God.
He goes...
Oh, my God.
He goes, and composed another text with a bunch of pics of my kids to AJ Pierzynski. But I caught her on that one before she hit send. So I write back, what the F? She didn't know what she was doing with my phone. And was trying to text.
Wait, is Adam's mom named AJ?
It's got to be something. It's got to be something, right? Who doesn't have their mom on their phone as mom, right? So it was trying to text herself.
Holy crap.
But somehow was sending pics to random people in my contacts. And I said, I'm dead. He goes, it would have been so much better if Preller had responded, but he didn't. Now, listen, the first thing I thought of was Preller's got to be like, what the hell kind of operation are you guys running? We got Woods' dad wearing me out about trading with the Guardians as a potential trade partner. If you missed that story, I took my family down to batting practice, and I... again, was fortunate enough to have 5 minutes with Shiel Seidler, who I had never met, but had sent us a beautiful gift when we did the 4-hour show on Peter. You know, it was they loved it and they listened to it, and it was really raw and amazing. And I was just so happy to meet her. I was kind of wrapped up in that convo with Shiel, and then I looked over my shoulder and saw my dad chopping it up with. President of Baseball Ops, AJ Preller, and we walked away. Like, what did you say? Oh, I was just asking him, you know, potential deals, how to improve, and you know, I thought the Guardians might have been an interesting partner, but they're playing so well. I go, Dad, just shut up.
Oh, Gary, stop. I'm glad you asked. Jose Ramirez, actually, we're really close.
Yeah, right. Like, so I thought about it immediately. I'm like, so he's got my dad wearing him out about potential trade partners, randomly. The brand manager for 97.3 Fan is just texting random pictures of his kid, which is super weird and creepy. So I'm sure there was a follow-up. AJ, so sorry. You know, but no, the no response is what kills you. Hey, no problem. It happens. Like, that just murders you. So going so well for Adam on his trip. Yeah, it's not a vacation. God. Three kids, including a, you know, baby. Going to see family, there's nothing relaxing about that. Nothing. None whatsoever. Across the country, like, there's just... So he's... I was like, bro, that is such a good story. Finally you hit one.
Here's a question. Would you ever give your mom your phone?
There would be things... And it's not only like wieners or boobs or anything in there, but I don't... I have like memes and... I mean, I'm looking through right now. I probably would. There's nothing in here. That's nothing untoward. And a bunch of pictures, Lee. But I don't. I would just say, send you some pics, yeah. Right? Like, I'll just send you. I'll give you all the pics that you need. We have what we did, which I think was really smart. My wife did this, and this is good. If you have if the grandparents live somewhere else, we bought my parents this. It's like a living frame.
Oh yeah,
it's called, right.
My grandmother has one.
Yeah, and so. Hannah will upload new pictures of the kids. So every morning when my parents wake up, they walk down to the living frame and they just stare at it for an hour. And it's new, fresh pictures of the kids. So that way you're not, they're new pictures and we gotta, you know, gotta remember to upload them and stuff like that. But they love it. I mean, they'll just stand there drinking their coffee, watching the pictures of the kids scroll by. And this is Bo at camp, and this is Taylor, you know, at his soccer camp or whatever. So they get way into that. But that was one of a. That's a really good gift. I don't know what it's called. It's something like that.
Digital frame.
Thing. Hannah can put it in the chat. I know she's up and in there, but it's really, really good.
Are there many feelings worse? Because we've all done it. Maybe not texting a picture of our kids to AJ Preller, but we've all. Sent a text, and then within the next 5 seconds realized...
Oh, F.
That's not who that was supposed to go
to.
Oh,
yeah.
You've got, a work thread, our show thread, and you are expecting... Oh. You think you're texting your wife, and you go, oh, hey, babe, I can pick that up at the store later, whatever it is. And then you really hit send, and you go,
that's
I didn't switch that thread. And then you have to go, sorry, that was meant for Shell. Sorry. And you just, you feel so stupid when you do that. You feel so stupid.
We were talking to our buddy at Callaway a few weeks ago about the Benin Woods Open. And I was also watching the Padres game, and there was some terrible mistake somebody made. And I'm right, like, how does this effing moron do this? And it sent it to our buddy Finley. Now we know him. But, like, what if that was a sponsor we didn't know we were trying to woo to the golf tournament? Like, who is this psychopath? Like, screaming in text messages right now. So, yeah, you got to be careful. But, yeah, so Adam is, he's out. He'll be back, what, next week? Is that right?
Yeah, next week.
Anybody?
I think he's going to be back Monday.
I'm trying to see exactly what that text was now.
Yeah, it's in there.
No, I remember it. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, found it. You said to the three of us with our buddy from Callaway, what the F are you looking for on a 3-1 count? Xander.
Xander. What are you looking for?
And then, remember, Callaway, Ben follows up with, not Shoffley.
Yes.
We love Xander Shoffley.
We love Xander Shoffley. Why? Simply the best. It's amazing. So good. It's called the Aura Frame, by the way, if you are interested in getting one of those for your parents or grandparents if they live far away. But yeah, it really, really works well.
If any tier ones in the YouTube stream or on social media want to share their most embarrassing, I sent the wrong text.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
To the wrong person story, we're here for it this morning. This is a pretty relaxed Thursday after an early game yesterday. No game later today. The content would be appreciated.
I ended things with a girl that way.
Ooh.
Unintentionally.
How did that play out?
Unintentionally.
Well, I mean, I was hoping to get out of that situation.
Right.
Just not that way.
You texted someone else that you were
like kind of, the rough draft.
Like, no, I need to break up with so and so, and how should I do it? And you actually sent it to
freshman year at college. Had some fun with somebody.
That's sex. He had sex with her, is what he's saying.
Fun. Could be any kind of fun.
They became really annoying really quickly, and I wanted out. And I was texting a buddy. Dude, this chick will not stop. Like, bothering me, like, she's so effing annoying.
Oh, Polly.
Didn't send it to my buddy. Because the next text I got was from her, and she goes, wow, a-hole.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, I am. Got the job done, but not my finest moment. I'm not happy about it.
You two still friends today?
No.
Yeah.
No idea where she's at. No.
Makes my stomach hurt.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, back in my day, you just didn't have to answer the phone. That was the best part. You had to answer. Hey, it's Steve. Please leave a message. I'll call you back. That's it. You just didn't have to answer the phone. Whew. Man, Pauly.
It was
hardcore.
When I tell you, my heart stops.
That's can you
put the two together. You're like, oh,
You can unsend now, can't you?
It still shows you like
what it said.
I think so. Mm. Like it'll say like, Stephen Woods unsent a message.
But you can't see the message.
I don't know.
Text me something.
Melamel says he once sent a text that was about his boss, but actually sent it to his boss and said, oh, I made that bleeper rich.
I made that effer rich.
All right, what does your phone say? I just sent you something and then unsent it.
Let's see.
On iMessage.
Paul Reindel unsent a message.
You can't see it?
Yeah, can't see it.
Ooh.
That's a game changer.
But you don't know that you could see it really quickly.
You could.
You can't unring the bell.
If I had it,
you happen to be like there.
Yeah. Ooh.
You're just hoping that they didn't look at their phone in the last 15 seconds or whatever it is when you try to undo.
I mean, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, Dominic says that's the subconscious acting on your behalf. You need to watch out for your subconscious for sure. Because, you're like, I'm going to text Paul. I'm going to text something about Paul, and then you send it to Paul.
Yep. Jamie says, I meant to text my coworker about how much of an a-hole our boss was, and actually sent it to the boss.
I text Adam what an a-hole he is all the time, so I don't have to unsend any of those. Let's get into some San Diego Padres baseball. Great sweep yesterday. For for 8 innings. I mean, it was one of the better games the San Diego Padres played all season long, and just exactly what the doctor ordered. Kyle Higashioka is on the Linsanity run of all time right now, and just so valuable to this baseball team. Nobody could have predicted that one, Benjamin.
Got an extra pair of Legion tickets. Going to give away. It's their final game of the season. We'll do that next. Set your Thursday menu as we get underway. 4+1. Roundtable later this morning. Do not go anywhere. It's Ben and Woods. Get our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Good Lord. This may be the winner here of the wrong text that you sent.
Oh, my God.
Our buddy, Anthony the Butcher. Girl customer. She used to order ground turkey by the case. Texted her, voiced a text with my watch. I said, "Your ground turkey's ready." And my clerk yelled in the background, "With my D," and it picked up, and I hit send.
Oh,
oh my God!
He didn't say D though.
He said, "Yeah,
the word
like Rick with my Rick." Isn't that funny? I can say with my Rick. I can't say the other one. stupid business. With my Rick.
And the Apple Watch heard it.
Heard it. Picked it up. He hit send.
Oh my God!
So he said, "I explained everything about it or everything that happened." She was a great sport about it. He said, "I almost killed my clerk." I then had to explain to my wife what happened because my texts go to our Mac at home. "Yeah, ma'am, I have your ground turkey that I've prepared with my Rick." Right? How's that work? She's, "Excuse me?"
Wife sees
"Don't
that
think
pop
I want that
computer.
Turkey anymore.
I'm going to pass. Yeah. I'm going to pass on that ground turkey." So gnarly. Yeah, and she comes, you're like, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry, this idiot over here." And then how about the fun boy over there yelling that from the background? Like,
he's just in the
"Bro,
background.
This is a customer." Yeah, he's throwing his hands over there like, got him.
So, I could get fired for this.
Bro, 100%. And like sued or something, like sexual harassment.
Oh,
with
God.
My rib. That's exactly how he said it, by the way. I know, I wasn't 100%. There, but I know he's like, "With my rib." I know it. I know it to be true.
What about Jeff here on Twitter?
Oh, man.
Said, "I was once sending a text to my wife. Looking forward to date night. Love you. But I sent it to my son's nanny."
Oh, that is so far beyond the realm of okay. To where she's like, she looks at you and she's like, I'll take you at your word. Or were you just fishing? Were you like throwing this out there just to see?
Well, back to Anthony the Butcher. Oh. He has given us the update. She was down. She said, "Anthony, I'm blushing."
Ooh. We had a playful customer.
A very playful customer. Down for what? For him to do that in her turkey? Or to use the turkey?
What a freak.
I mean, I'm not here to kink shame anyone.
No.
If you like your turkey a certain way, prepare it a certain way, who am I to say that that's the wrong way to prepare it?
Certain poultry fetish.
How does that feel, I wonder?
Oh, man.
Turkey. You know, we've all seen American pie.
I was thinking the same thing.
American turkey. Don't get any ideas out there, you deviants. That's something else, man. That is something else. All right. Let's go talk some baseball, I guess. It's a weird transition, I feel like.
Here's what we've got coming up for you. Setting the menu for our Thursday program. We'll get right into our Padres wrap-up of yesterday's 8-5 win. I think we'll just call it the Kyle Higashioka game yesterday with a good side of Dylan Cease as the Padres completed their sweep of the Washington Nationals. On a throwback Thursday at 7:10, we'll play a little real or fake, try to qualify another listener, tier one, for the trip to Las Vegas at the Fontainebleau, the concert tickets, $150 poolside dining credit. Don't do this at 7:20. We have an update on one of the more unsavory college coaches that we had yesterday, and don't do this. What happened in the last 24 hours with Jim Schlossnagel. So that's coming up at 7:20. In our second half of the program, Eno Saris will join us for his Smart Baseball Weekly segment at 8:35. Paulie's Rindle Report, and of course, getting you ready for the old roundtable at 10 o'clock this morning as everyone files their way in. It's once again...
Every single week.
It's completely a 180 from the week before.
You're right.
3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, everything was great. Padres were on a roll, looked like they had turned a corner. Last week, coming off a miserable week. What's wrong with this team? This is awful. Everything is falling apart. And of course, this week, going to be all sunshine and roses again in the round table. I'll say what I said a couple of weeks ago. Nothing we ever say about this team seems correct or meaningful.
Correct. You're right. I think, you know, when we get down to the end of the season, Ben, and we are sitting at 81-81, and it are the sixth seed in the playoffs, I still don't think it'll be meaningful. I just don't. I really don't. But, so we have no idea what to expect in Boston or Texas week. Doesn't really matter how either of those teams are playing. You just don't know which San Diego Padres are going to show up. You don't know that they've been, you feel like maybe they've been galvanized a little bit with the goings on at Petco Park, the electric last couple of weeks
I mean, a normal team that you just, they would be galvanized.
Yes.
This would mean something. The way they've played lately absolutely generally means something, and it means something good.
Yeah.
But we'll talk all about it coming up in our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. First, though...
And in our roundtable.
First, though, we have some tickets to give away. It is the season finale, regular season finale, before the playoffs for the San Diego Legion Rugby Squad. They will be at Snapdragon Stadium this Saturday to take on the Seattle Seawolves, and we got a pair of tickets right now for a Tier 1 who wants to call in. Let's be a quick caller. Second caller, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Second caller, going to win a pair of tickets to the Seawolves Legion rugby match this Saturday at Snapdragon Stadium. You can get your own tickets at SDLegion.com. All right, we'll come back with all the highlights from Jesse and get to our Padres wrap-up on a Throwback Thursday. Oh, by the way, Paulie has a couple of great throwbacks again on this Thursday.
Oh, really good ones.
Really good ones. Where are we going to put those in, Paulie? Like 8 o'clock?
Wherever. Right around 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock hour. Sometime in the second half, probably, we'll get to some of our throwback clips. But call in for the Legion tickets, and then we'll return with our Padres wrap-up next here with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I know you're thinking it, so why don't we just say it out loud? When Luis Campusano comes back from the injured list, do the Padres have a catching controversy on their hands all of a sudden?
No. A controversy would require two catchers to be playing well. I mean, Kyle Higashioka has absolutely earned five starts a week right now. 100%. I mean, he's doing it with the bat. He's doing it with his arm. He's the only guy that can catch Waldron, you know, and obviously got off to a really slow start here, but he was also catching Waldron, which is a gnarly assignment, as we talked about. Guy's never caught a knuckleball before. Hey, by the way, welcome to the new city, the new team. You're in one of the biggest trades of all time. We need you to catch our burgeoning knuckleballer. Oh, cool. Also, by the way, you can't use the big floppy mitt. You got to use a regular mitt because he also throws a fastball and a sweeper and a slider, too. Does that sound good? You're going to get about four ABs a week. Need you to make the most of that opportunity. Right. I mean, and then when he has gotten his opportunity lately, he hasn't missed. And I think defensively, Ben, the ability to throw out base runners is not something that we saw with Campusano at all. I'm not ready to give up on Luis Campusano, but I do feel like he's got to kind of earn his way back in. I'm not saying a full Wally Pipp here has gone on with Campy and Higashioka, because Higashioka's on a run right now. You're going to milk that thing for as long as you can. I don't know that there's a controversy. But, yeah, the thing about catching is both guys are going to get plenty of time now. And I think Kyle has certainly earned some more.
Well, we'll talk about it. Let's get the highlights. Six runs batted in for one Kyle Higashioka yesterday.
What a day.
Our Padres wrap-up coming up right after this. Check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah! Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
it would look nothing the same as this one is launched down the left field line. Fair, a home run. Second balcony Western medal, which has sort of become the Higashioka zone. A two-run shot and a 2-0 Padre lead. Johnson squares to bunt, takes high, goes to the backstop. Eggy charging home. He'll score. Throw for Millis ended up hitting Rosario as he slid into home plate. It looks like he's all right. And the Padres on a wild pitch add on. It's 3-0. Here's the 1-0. Profar hard hit up the middle into left center and a base hit. Higashioka will come in and score. How about some more for Jurickson Profar? An RBI single and now a 4-0 Padre lead. Again, the 1-2 pitch swung on and missed. Strike three, he's got it. Strikeout 7, 8, and 9 in a 1-2-3 top of the sixth inning. Here's the pitch. And that's hit in the air to deep left field. Did he do it again? Oh, boy, did he! Third balcony Western medal. And the Padres have gone slam Diego against the Nats. 3-1, Thomas swings. It's hard on the ground beyond the dive of Rosario and down the left field line. Young going to score easily. Nunez very fast on his way. He'll score as well. It's a two-run double for Lane Thomas. And now an 8-2 game here in the top of the ninth inning. Morejon delivers. And a breaking ball hit in the air down the right field line. That's a fair ball. Going to go all the way to the corner. Thomas on his way home. And Manessis being waved behind him. The throw comes into Cronenworth. No relay to the plate. It's a two-run double for the second time here in the ninth inning. And all of a sudden, 8-4, San Diego. Still only one out. Harold Ramirez, the batter, right-handed hitter, chops one to the right side. Long way to go. Cronenworth can't make the play. It's into right field. Garcia rounding third. He's going to score. And it's 8-5 here in the ninth inning. Senzel, 1 out of 3, the only guy with a hit before this inning. Swings to the first pitch, grounds it to short. Kim's got it. Feed to second one. On to first. In time. Double play. And the ball game is over. Well, they wanted to make you sweat a little bit at the end, but all's well that ends well. Padres sweep the Nationals and finish a 6-1 homestand as they get ready to hit the road.
Really strong homestand. You know, really, really nice job. Whole homestand, obviously.
What's a homestand?
And we're able to get all three on this in this series. So, yeah, it's a great game. Really professional game across the board. You know, Dylan really set the tone. Just did a lot of good things to create a lot of good, clean baseball. You know, Dylan was fantastic for his 7. Threw multiple pitches for strikes, introduced a little bit more of the curveball, which was nice to see. Mixed in a changeup, got a few outs on the changeup, a few rollovers, threw in a little bit more, so that was good. Just in control, and of course the offense, you know, what are you going to say about Higgy? I mean, what a day.
I love a good home strand. I really do. I love a home strand.
Maybe we should send him some tacos from Home Straight.
Home Straight.
Strong home strand.
Home State. Yeah.
To celebrate the home strand.
What a really strong home strand.
Yeah, it was very strong, Mike. Sorry, Mike. That's what we do here on this program. Don't take it personally. You probably will.
Well, Dylan Cease was terrific. It turned out the previous start, which he showed some signs of throwing better.
Yeah.
And then got knocked out in the fifth inning on a bunch of weak hits and not, you know, not a ton of hard contact. Did carry over, and he had one of his classic Dylan Cease efforts, which allowed the Padres to, you know, take advantage of Kyle Higashioka's offense, build that 8-0 lead, and yes, it got a little too nervous in the ninth inning. I will be honest, I had I was at work, I was barely even paying attention once it got to the ninth inning, and the moment I saw, oh wait, hold on, is that 6-8-5? It was already hitting into the double play to end the game. So I never really
had the
chance to panic. It was over before I really got into full panic mode. Here comes the tying runs and the, you know, on deck. What's going on here? Oh, Robert Suarez is up again, but they did, as Jesse said, nipped it in the bud right before it got to truly, truly, here we go again time.
I do like the phrase, all's well that ends well. Yeah, 100%. You know, they're gonna try to get some knocks off of a not great pitcher right now, Tom Cosgrove, and they did, and credit to them for getting 5 runs. You know, it's not something you want to see. I was in the same boat, Benny. As soon as Higgy hit the grand slam, my son had been asking me to throw him grounders in the street, and I said, all right, let me get, you know, it's 4-0 at the time, and I'm like, all right, let's make sure we get this thing in order. Higgy hits the grand slam. Go get your shoes on! And we go out to the street, and I just happened to pick up my phone. I was going to put some music on while we were taking grounders, and I go, 8-5, runner on? I'm like, what in the world? I run inside and see the ground ball to end it and was like, good God, man. I mean, it was one of those things we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. Sometimes even their wins, like, they don't feel like losses, obviously, but you're like, I can't even enjoy this win properly. Like, you can't just put your foot on their throat and get three outs and not have to get Robert Suarez up. And, you know, we were talking in the break. I feel like Robert Suarez is going to burn out at some point because of the overuse. But then you put my mind at ease a little bit.
Robert Suarez has thrown 33 innings this year, which is neither a lot more or a lot less than other top closers. Ryan Helsley, who has the most saves in baseball with 28, has thrown 36 innings. Emmanuel Clase, so good, 0.7 ERA for the Cleveland Guardians. He's thrown 38 innings, so five more innings than Robert Suarez. Even Josh Hader, who has not had a great season with the Houston Astros, has thrown 35 and two-thirds innings, more than Robert Suarez. Now, there's other closers that are around 29, 28, so Suarez has definitely thrown more than some of the other guys, but yeah, his usage doesn't stand out in the crowd among top closers in Major League Baseball. This year, it's right in line with where it should be at this point.
And again, I don't watch enough Cardinals games or Astros games to know how many times they've had to get Josh Hader up to get loose, letting late runs. I don't, and that, look, that counts. What did Eno Saris say? Every pitch you throw is, it's just another bullet that
Whether it's an off day, whatever.
Like,
working out.
There's a limited number. And we have had to get him up. The thing is I don't mind Robert Suarez coming in a 4-2 game to get four outs. Like, that's what he's built for. What I do mind is having to get that man off his ass at all in an 8-0 game.
What he has done is he's worked in more intense stretches, I think, than some other closers. He's had like 2 weeks where they didn't use him at all.
That's true.
Because they'd never had a lead. They were five-game losing streak, didn't have a chance to bring him in, or when they won, they were up, more than they needed, didn't come in. So he's had like two of those stretches where we haven't seen, last time we've seen Robert Suarez. And then, of course, they have those stretches where they need him for multiple innings, 2 days in a row, or one inning plus for 3 days in a row. So he's worked in intense stretches over the course of the season. So it's certainly something you do want to keep an eye on.
Oh, and they definitely are. They definitely are. They've done a good job at managing him yet. It's not his fault. It's not his fault that he's had to get up and get loose. And because there's been games where, it wasn't a safe situation, and Mike Schilt's like, enough. I've seen enough. I'm going to go to the reliable guy that can get us this dub. I really have no problem with that whatsoever. Like, does any problem with that?
Nope.
Knowing you can't pick up the phone and count on, at this point today, really anybody else but that guy to get you a huge out, even if you're up five runs.
But even more at home needed a mound visit.
100%.
If this team made sense, I would say. But the worst is behind them. They just finished a stretch of 26 games in 27 days. There are plenty of off days on the calendar coming up, especially in the near future, with the All-Star break, with an off day today, another off day on Monday, two more off days on the final homestand before the All-Star break. There's no real need to worry about bullpen rest and usage for the next 3 to 4 weeks. There's going to be plenty of chances to get guys off and get guys rested. My only worry is, of course, that nothing about this team makes sense. Because one thing I know about baseball is that when you are at the end of a really long stretch of games without an off day, and your team, at the end of that stretch, has to put several key players on the injured list or doesn't get players back that they're expecting for their starting rotation, you are setting yourself up for a really rough stretch. All teams go through them. Schedule turns against everybody at some point, and you go, this is going to be a rough week and a half coming up here. No off days. We're already beat. We're already battered. We're not playing great. This is going to be maybe the toughest week of the season. And when you look, you'll go back a little over a week as they're going into that last game in Philly before the homestand. They're beat up. They're getting hurt. They're getting more injured. There's no off days. They've got to come home to face a first-place Milwaukee Brewers team, a red-hot Washington Nationals team that had won 11 of 15. You go, this is going to be a disastrous week for the Padres. This could be one of those 1-6 homestands that really puts them behind the eight ball for the rest of the season. That's what a logical team, that's what makes sense The Padres don't make sense. They go out and, with all of those things working against them, have their best home stand of the year by far and go 6-1. Make it make sense. I don't know. I don't know why they did it.
I'll take that any day of the week. And again, I love being proved wrong. I love being made to feel like I was clutching my pearls for no reason. I love that. Good. More of it. Because that means that they're winning baseball games. But, you know, to be a realist and look at what they were facing, again, you have to give a ton of credit to those guys. And guys stepping up. I mean, guys stepping up. Freaking Solano's hit, you know, day before yesterday was phenomenal. Jackson Merrill's hit the other night in the comeback was phenomenal. Manny Machado's home run. All of these things, man. Guys are playing banged up. They're beat to hell, and they're going out and they're winning baseball games. 6-1 on a homestand, Benny. It doesn't get much better than that.
Beat left-handed starting pitchers each of the last 3 days.
Correct.
Something, of course, the Padres had not been doing. And I'll say there is some logic behind that. And the reason, I think, that the Padres have gotten a little more success against left-handed starting pitchers is not that hard to find. Manny Machado's numbers against lefties have jumped up significantly over the last month. They've gotten Kyle Higashioka's breakout month of the season. Almost all of that damage, of course, coming against left-handed starting pitching as a right-hander. And in the last couple of days, you bring up Eggie Rosario, who, you know, for his strengths and weaknesses, hits well and hits for extra bases against left-handed pitching. Had a double yesterday. Yep. That led to the two-run rally. I think almost all of his hits this year are still extra base hits against left-handed pitching.
Crazy.
Three home runs against left-handed pitching. Add him back to the mix, and the concerns, the poor performance against lefty starters, maybe not gone entirely, but you definitely have mitigated some of the issues that you're facing just based on a couple of those small changes and better performances alone.
Well, that and the home record was so putrid. They were just playing terribly at home. Now they're playing fantastically at home. And now you go back on the road where you had a really, really rough road trip the last time, albeit against some good teams. But, you know, now you look at it with Boston and Texas. I mean, couple of teams with some horses. I mean, some really, really good players. And you're talking about the defending World Series champion.
You're trying to make it make sense again.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
I don't know. This road trip, I look at it, and I'm not going to be shocked.
One day at a time, buddy.
They can go 6-0. They can go 0-6. You're not going to get me this time.
We got to get back to the mentality.
I know you're thinking it, so why don't we just say it out loud? When Luis Campusano comes back from the injured list, do the Padres have a catching controversy on their hands all of a sudden?
No. A controversy would require two catchers to be playing well. I mean, Kyle Higashioka has absolutely earned five starts a week right now. 100%. I mean, he's doing it with the bat. He's doing it with his arm. He's the only guy that can catch Waldron, you know, and obviously got off to a really slow start here, but he was also catching Waldron, which is a gnarly assignment, as we talked about. Guy's never caught a knuckleball before. Hey, by the way, welcome to the new city, the new team. You're in one of the biggest trades of all time. We need you to catch our burgeoning knuckleballer. Oh, cool. Also, by the way, you can't use the big floppy mitt. You got to use a regular mitt because he also throws a fastball and a sweeper and a slider, too. Does that sound good? You're going to get about 4 ABs a week. Need you to make the most of that opportunity. Right. I mean, and then when he has gotten his opportunity lately, he hasn't missed. And I think defensively, Ben, the ability to throw out base runners is not something that we saw with Campusano at all. I'm not ready to give up on Luis Campusano, but I do feel like he's got to kind of earn his way back in. I'm not saying a full Wally Pipp here has gone on with Campy and Higashioka, because Higashioka's on a run right now. You're going to milk that thing for as long as you can. But yeah, I don't know that there's a controversy. But yeah, the thing about catching is both guys are going to get plenty of time now. And I think Kyle has certainly earned some more.
Well, we'll talk about it. Let's get the highlights. Six runs batted in for one Kyle Higashioka yesterday.
What a day.
Our Padres wrap-up coming up right after this. Check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah! Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
It would look nothing the same as this one is launched down the left field line. Fair, a home run. Second balcony Western medal, which has sort of become the Higashioka zone. A two-run shot and a 2-0 Padre lead. Johnson squares to bunt, takes high, goes to the backstop. Eggy charging home. He'll score. Throw for Millis ended up hitting Rosario as he slid into home plate. Looks like he's all right. And the Padres on a wild pitch add on. It's 3-0. Here's the 1-0. Profar hard hit up the middle into left center and a base hit. Higashioka will come in and score. How about some more for Jurickson Profar? An RBI single and now 4-0 Padre lead. Again, the 1-2 pitch swung on and missed. Strike three. He's got it. Strikeout 7, 8, and 9 in a 1-2-3 top of the sixth inning. Here's the pitch. And that's hit in the air to deep left field. Did he do it again? Oh, boy, did he! Third balcony Western medal. And the Padres have gone Slam Diego against the Nats. 3-1, Thomas swings, hits it hard on the ground beyond the dive of Rosario and down the left field line. Young going to score easily. Nunez very fast on his way. He'll score as well. It's a two-run double for Lane Thomas. And now an 8-2 game here in the top of the ninth inning. Morejon delivers. And a breaking ball hit in the air down the right field line. That's a fair ball. Going to go all the way to the corner. Thomas on his way home. And Manessis being waved behind him. The throw comes into Cronenworth. No relay to the plate. It's a two-run double for the second time here in the ninth inning. And all of a sudden, 8-4, San Diego. Still only one out. Harold Ramirez, the batter, right-handed hitter, chops one to the right side. Long way to go. Cronenworth can't make the play. It's into right field. Garcia rounding third. He's going to score. And it's 8-5 here in the ninth inning. Senzel, 1 out of 3, the only guy with a hit before this inning. Swings to the first pitch, grounds it to short. Kim's got it. Feed to second one. On to first. In time. Double play. And the ball game is over. Well, they wanted to make you sweat a little bit at the end, but all's well that ends well. Padres sweep the Nationals and finish a 6-1 homestand as they get ready to hit the road.
Really strong homestand. You know, really, really nice job. Whole homestand, obviously.
What's a homestand?
And we're able to get all three on this series. So, yeah, it's a great game. Really professional game across the board. You know, Dylan really set the tone. Just did a lot of good things that create a lot of good, clean baseball. You know, Dylan was fantastic for his 7. Threw multiple pitches for strikes, introduced a little bit more of the curveball, which was nice to see. Mixed in a changeup, got a few outs on the changeup. A few rollovers, threw in a little bit more, so that was good. Just in control, and of course the offense, you know, what are you going to say about Higgy? I mean, what a day.
I love a good home strand. I really do. I love a home strand.
Maybe we should send him some tacos from Home Straight.
Home State. Yeah.
To celebrate the home strand.
What a really strong home strand.
Yeah, it was very strong, Mike. Sorry, Mike. That's what we do here on this program. Don't take it personally. You probably will.
Well, Dylan Cease was terrific. It turned out the previous start, which he showed some signs of throwing better.
Yeah.
And then got knocked out in the fifth inning on a bunch of weak hits and not, you know, not a ton of hard contact. Did carry over, and he had one of his classic Dylan Cease efforts, which allowed the Padres to, you know, take advantage of Kyle Higashioka's offense, build that 8-0 lead, and yes, it got a little too nervous in the ninth inning. I will be honest, I was at work, I was barely even paying attention once it got to the ninth inning, and the moment I saw, oh wait, hold on, is that 6-8-5? It was already hitting into the double play to end the game. So I never really
had the
chance to panic. It was over before I really got into full panic mode. Here comes the tying runs and the, you know, on deck. What's going on here? Oh, Robert Suarez is up again, but they did, as Jesse said, nipped it in the bud right before it got to truly, truly, here we go again time.
I do like the phrase, all's well that ends well. Yeah, 100%. You know, they're gonna try to get some knocks off of a not great pitcher right now, Tom Cosgrove, and they did, and credit to them for getting 5 runs. You know, it's not something you want to see. I was in the same boat, Benny. As soon as Higgy hit the grand slam, my son had been asking me to throw him grounders in the street. And I said, all right, let me get, you know, it's 4-0 at the time. And I'm like, all right, let's make sure we get this thing in order. Higgy hits the grand slam. Go get your shoes on. And we go out to the street. And I just happened to pick up my phone. I was going to put some music on while we were taking grounders. And I go, 8-5, runner on. I'm like, what in the world? I run inside. And see the ground ball to end it, and was like, good God, man. I mean, it was one of those things we were talking about this couple weeks ago. Sometimes even their wins, like, they don't feel like losses, obviously, but you're like, I can't even enjoy this win properly. Like, you can't just put your foot on their throat and get three outs and not have to get Robert Suarez up. And, you know, we were talking in the break. I feel like Robert Suarez is going to burn out at some point because of the overuse. But then you put my mind at ease a little bit.
Robert Suarez has thrown 33 innings this year, which is neither a lot more or a lot less than other top closers. Ryan Helsley, who has the most saves in baseball with 28, has thrown 36 innings. Emmanuel Clase, so good, 0.7 ERA for the Cleveland Guardians. He's thrown 38 innings, so 5 more innings than Robert Suarez. Even Josh Hader, who has not had a great season with the Houston Astros, has thrown 35 2/3 innings, more than Robert Suarez. Now, there's other closers that are around 29, 28, so Suarez has definitely thrown more than some of the other guys, but yeah, his usage doesn't stand out in the crowd among top closers in Major League Baseball. This year, it's right in line with where it should be at this point.
And again, I don't watch enough Cardinals games or Astros games to know how many times they've had to get Josh Hader up to get loose, letting late runs. I don't, and that, look, that counts. Sarah say? Every pitch you throw is, it's just another bullet that
whether it's an off day, whatever.
Like,
working out.
There's a limited number. There's a limited number, and we have had to get him up. The thing is I don't mind Robert Suarez coming in a 4-2 game to get four outs. Like, that's what he's built for. What I do mind is having to get that man off his ass at all in an 8-0 game.
What he has done is he's worked in more intense stretches, I think, than some other closers. He's had like 2 weeks where they didn't use him at all.
That's true.
Because they'd never had a lead. They were in five-game losing streak, didn't have a chance to bring him in, or when they won, they were up, more than they needed, didn't come in. So he's had like two of those stretches where we haven't seen, last Saturday, last time we've seen Robert Suarez. And then, of course, they have those stretches where they need him for multiple innings, 2 days in a row, or one inning plus for 3 days in a row. So he's worked in intense stretches over the course of the season. So it's certainly something you do want to keep an eye on.
Oh, and they definitely are. They definitely are. They've done a good job at managing him yet. It's not his fault. It's not his fault that he's had to get up and get loose. And because there's been games where, it wasn't a safe situation, and Mike Schilt's like, enough. I've seen enough. I'm going to go to the reliable guy that can get us this dub. I really have no problem with that whatsoever. Like, does any problem with that?
Nope.
Knowing you can't pick up the phone and count on, at this point today, really anybody else but that guy to get you a huge out, even if you're up 5 runs.
But even more at home, needed a mound visit.
100%.
If this team made sense, I would say, but the worst is behind them. They just finished a stretch of 26 games in 27 days. There are plenty of off days on the calendar coming up, especially in the near future, with the All-Star break, with an off day today, another off day on Monday, 2 more off days on the final homestand before the All-Star break. There's no real need to worry about bullpen rest and usage for the next 3 to 4 weeks. There's going to be plenty of chances to get guys off and get guys rested. My only worry is, of course, that nothing about this team makes sense. Because one thing I know about baseball is that when you are at the end of a really long stretch of games without an off day, and your team, at the end of that stretch, has to put several key players on the injured list or doesn't get players back that they're expecting for their starting rotation, you are setting yourself up for a really rough stretch. All teams go through them. Schedule turns against everybody at some point, and you go, this is going to be a rough week and a half coming up here. No off days. We're already beat. We're already battered. We're not playing great. This is going to be maybe the toughest week of the season. And when you look, you'll go back a little over a week as they're going into that last game in Philly before the homestand. They're beat up. They're getting hurt. They're getting more injured. There's no off days. They've got to come home to face a first-place Milwaukee Brewers team, a red-hot Washington Nationals team that had won 11 of 15. You go, this is going to be a disastrous week for the Padres. This could be one of those 1-6 homestands that really puts them behind the eight ball for the rest of the season. That's what a logical team. That's what makes sense. The Padres don't make sense. They go out and, with all of those things working against them, have their best homestand of the year by far and go 6-1. Make it make sense. I don't know. I don't know why they did it.
I'll take that any day of the week. And again, I love being proved wrong. I love being made to feel like I was clutching my pearls for no reason. I love that. Good. More of it. Because that means that they're winning baseball games. But, you know, to be a realist and look at what they were facing, again, you have to give a ton of credit to those guys. And guys stepping up. I mean, guys stepping up. Freaking Solano's hit, you know, day before yesterday was phenomenal. Jackson Merrill's hit the other night in the comeback was phenomenal. Manny Machado's home run. All of these things, man. Guys are playing banged up. They're beat to hell, and they're going out and they're winning baseball games. 6-1 on a homestand, Benny. It doesn't get much better than that.
Beat left-handed starting pitchers each of the last 3 days.
Correct.
Something, of course, the Padres had not been doing. And I'll say there is some logic behind that. And the reason, I think, that the Padres have gotten a little more success against left-handed starting pitchers is not that hard to find. Manny Machado's numbers against lefties have jumped up significantly over the last month. They've gotten Kyle Higashioka's breakout month of the season. Almost all of that damage, of course, coming against left-handed starting pitching as a right-hander. And in the last couple of days, you bring up Eggie Rosario, who, for his strengths and weaknesses, hits well and hits for extra bases against left-handed pitching. Had a double yesterday. Yep. That led to the two-run rally. I think almost all of his hits this year are still extra base hits against left-handed pitching.
Crazy.
Three home runs against left-handed pitching. Add him back to the mix, and the concerns, the poor performance against lefty starters, maybe not gone entirely, but you definitely have mitigated some of the issues that you're facing just based on a couple of those small changes and better performances alone.
Well, that and the home record was so putrid. They were just playing terribly at home. Now they're playing fantastically at home. And now you go back on the road where you had a really, really rough road trip the last time, albeit against some good teams. But, now you look at it with Boston and Texas. I mean, couple of teams with some horses. I mean, some really, really good players. And you're talking about the defending World Series champion.
You're trying to make it make sense again.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
I don't know. This road trip, I look at it, and I'm not going to be shocked.
One day at a time, buddy.
They can go 6-0. They can go 0-6. Not going to get me this time.
We got to get back to the mentality as fans, at least on this show. We got to get back to the mentality of win tonight's game. If you don't, what went wrong? I mean, it's really the only way to handle a baseball season instead of, oh my God, we could lose 6 in a row. Got to figure out a way to win in Fenway Park on Friday night.
All right, we'll come back. Hour number two, a chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas in our game of Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. More Padres talk ahead as well with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.